Hey there, welcome to lie number 62. And today's lie is your life is not worth celebrating. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I have a special guest. Her name is Caitlin Chapel Rogers, and she is a former news reporter and ex-NASA social media specialist who now lives out her lifelong dream of being a writer. She recently graduated from Highlands College and now serves as an intern for Lisa Whittle Ministries. She also is a graduate of the Compels Author Academy Book Proposal Bootcamp. And here's the thing. I just love Caitlin's heart. I have followed her on Instagram for a little while, so we've been Instagram friends. And today's topic is actually a topic we have not talked about on the podcast, but really this whole idea that your life is worth celebrating. This podcast episode is really for you if you struggle with comparison, if you struggle with envy, if you wrestle with the idea that you celebrate others, but it doesn't feel like others celebrate you. We talk about immediate gratitude versus instant gratification. And here's a big one we talk about, unmet expectations. In the end, the truth is your life is worth celebrating. But Caitlin does such a beautiful job of sharing very personal stories. And I share stories as well of how can we celebrate life today in this moment and not wish it was something else. Let's go ahead and get to the interview. Caitlin, I am excited about today's message. And I think I say excited every time I have a guest, but we just talked for like 40 minutes before we hit record because, well, you're just the sweetest. And we were sharing some real life behind the scenes of book stuff. And we've talked about that before, but I think that even goes in today's topic and today's lie, which is you are not worth celebrating. And I would love for you just to start off by saying, why is this message important to you?
Yeah, it was so fun to jump right in and talk to you for 40 minutes leading up to this. It was like, okay, I guess we need to press record now. Yeah, I think that it's a lie that maybe we don't even realize we believe. And when I mention it to people, I see their eyes kind of like, oh, I have felt that way before. And I know I have felt that way just going back to even just being young and believing lies that people spoke over me or just growing up and, you know, trying to fit in and not fitting in or having people just say hurtful things to you. And I actually, this all kind of hit me one day in counseling. I am a huge, huge advocate for counseling. It has helped my mental health and just my life in general so much. And so I sat with my counselor and I was actually talking to her about a girl I know who had told me a really tragic story. It involved like murder. Like it was really intense. And I told my counselor, I was like, in the moment I felt so guilty because I don't have some kind of like horrific event like that in my life. Like that makes me feel guilty. And then I started to tear up and said, but you know, I think that the greatest tragedy of my life is having people not love and accept me for who I am. And my life has been filled with a million tiny little tragedies. And most of them have been words spoken or invitations not sent or people not showing up. And all of those have culminated into a tragedy. And as I sat and cried, she was like, hey, that counts. Like that matters. You can't compare trauma. And Jesus doesn't have a hierarchy of tragedy and trauma. He treats each of us the same. He loves each of us the same. And so, yeah, maybe your friend did go through something really, really horrific and you can meet her in her pain, but she can also meet you in the pain of not feeling like you're worthy and not feeling like you're worth celebrating. Mm-hmm. And holding on to those lies and deciding that that is your life and deciding that the person next door or the person across the aisle at church or the person on social media is worth celebrating so much more because of, you can make a list, the way she dresses, what her husband does for a living, the house she lives in, her hair, her skin. I mean, you can go on and on and find reasons why other people are worth celebrating, and then think of all the reasons you aren't. But then just combating that, and what I'm learning to do is combating that with who God says I am. And as Christianese and cheesy as that sounds, it's real, because he did die for me and he did die for you. And he celebrates the small things so much more than we realize. And yes. So I've just been on a mission to celebrate those small things every day, to find things to celebrate every day, to celebrate other people. Even when it's hard, even when they get what you want, even when they get what you prayed for. I think one of the hardest things in the world is cheering someone on when they got what you prayed for.
Yeah.
Whether you're praying for a baby or a spouse or a job, seeing someone else get that thing, you immediately want to think of all the reasons why they didn't deserve it, instead of going into celebration mode and celebrating them. And a life of celebration is not one of big extravagant parties. It's one of showing up for where you are every single day and finding something to be grateful for. It's immediate gratitude instead of instant gratification. And it's using what you've got right where you are, instead of swiping up to get a perfect life and finding out whatever she uses so you can use it. It's, here's what I've got. Here's the people I've got. Here's the time I've got in the day. I'm going to use all of this to make a difference for the kingdom and to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful. And something you said about not comparing trauma, there's this phrase that we use, and I don't know why it kind of makes me like twitch my eye a little bit, but we go, well, it could be worse. Meaning, well, so-and-so is starving, so it could be worse, right?
Yeah.
We literally start to compare, well, okay, I have a baby, but this happened with my baby, but it could be worse. Or my husband did this, but it could. I cringe at that, because now we're comparing ourselves against somebody that doesn't have what we have, but also we're minimizing like our own pain.
Yes.
I know we say those things that we think we're going to make ourselves feel better. Right. But instead of saying, well, it could be worse, we could have this, this could have happened, this could have happened, why can't we just live in this is what happened?
Yes.
Right. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, because then we can celebrate, you know, what other women are doing as we move into this topic now of, I think really it's envy, it's jealousy. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's really hard to say is that it's actually a sin.
Yeah.
So we say comparison and it's really cute.
Yeah. It's a pretty word for it's a sin. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Let's go into that a little bit more when it comes to celebrating. And I think, I mean, this is a really, I love this topic. It's not something we've talked about on the podcast before, about celebrating ourselves and our life, because I got to celebrate Jesus. Well, we are doing that. Like when you celebrate the life that you've been given, I feel like we co-labor with him in that, right? Why don't you speak to the women that feel like they're not worth celebrating because, well, she has this, she has that, she's done that.
Yeah. First of all, let me say I've been you. I am you on many days. Woke up this morning being you. So it's a mind shift. It is taking every thought captive, which I know that someone just heard me say that and rolled their eyes and they're like, I know that's in the Bible. I cannot do it anymore. Like, I'm so tired and it is exhausting. So I see you and completely get it. Like, it's exhausting to take every thought captive, especially if you're like me and you have 2,000 thoughts a minute. And I think that we let our thoughts run wild and we decide that we're going to think all these things about ourselves and they have to be true, and all these things about her and they must be true. And we forget the truth. We forget what God says, what is in the word. So first of all, for the one who doesn't feel worth celebrating, open the Bible, go to the word. You're going to see the celebration of your life in those pages, because you're going to see your Savior that you have a personal relationship with. And he does not love her more because she has name brand clothes or a brand new vehicle or 5 beautiful children. He does not love her more than you, who might be sitting here wondering when that will all happen to you. And, you know, I think that we wait for one day and we say, I'm going to celebrate my life when this happens.
Yeah.
When I achieve this, it'll be worth celebrating. But I can't stop and let myself celebrate now because it's not worth it. I've done nothing. But when I get to that one day, I will absolutely celebrate. And I think that we still don't. We get to one day, and I mean, you are sitting in your 5 years ago self's one day. I mean, that's what you're sitting in. And maybe it doesn't look like what you thought. I think that that's another trigger point, is like, my life doesn't look like the way I thought it would look. It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I dreamt of. Some parts might be better, but some parts might be worse. And it's just like, why would I celebrate when my expectations weren't met? And I think that that is, you know, if comparison like steals our joy, I think that unmet expectations steal our celebration.
Yeah.
And I am the queen of creating these expectations, whether I communicate them or not. I expect my husband to do this, and I expect all my friends to do this, and I expect my parents to do this, and then I expect myself. And that's where it really starts, is maybe if you feel like you're not worth celebrating, you have put these insane expectations on yourself that you can't meet. And that's how you treat everyone else too. So you're not being easy and graceful on yourself, and that's pouring out, and you're not being easy and graceful on other people. And so you're sitting in a pit of unmet expectations, unmet dreams, unanswered prayers, while you look up out of the pit and see everyone else living their lives via social media, or you see people at church and you know a little bit of what their life is like, but not the whole thing, at work, at the grocery store. You're looking up out of your pit in that pile of all those unmets, and you are seeing that they've been met. All of them have had their prayers answered and their dreams met. And what you don't know is there are so many, everyone is walking around with a bunch of unmets.
Yeah.
And instead of comparing those, or instead of thinking she's got this, or even like we just said, comparing down to like, well, it could be worse. Like she can't even pay her bills. Like at least I'm sitting in my house. Like that's not the way we celebrate either. I celebrate you for who you are, where you are, and I celebrate me for who I am, where I am. And it's okay to have hope for what God will do while being content and grateful for what he is doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to say to that woman, just to hold on to that hope and be grateful, and hold both and hold them well. And that's worship. Celebrating your life is worship for the life you've been given.
Mm-hmm. Something I like to say often, and I post this on Instagram, and I'm like, I think I need to post it again, is we are run by our emotions and we run away from them. Yes. And that's kind of like what you were just saying, of we kind of don't even think about what we're thinking anymore. So we stop taking the thoughts captive. We stop, you know, even realizing that we are comparing, or that we wish we had this life, or whatever. And then unmet expectations, you have to ask yourself, like, am I doing what I'm expecting others to be doing? Yeah. And I feel like that's a whole other topic, right? And, you know, we were talking a little bit before I hit record about celebrating others when they don't celebrate me. And there's been times where I've been on social media and I'm like, you know, we have a lot of mutual friends. I'm like, wow, like this person is really just getting shared everywhere. I'm like, why is there something wrong with me? Did I not say that right? Why doesn't these people want to rally around me and share? And so can you talk a little bit about that feeling of celebrating others when they don't celebrate us?
Yes, I could talk about this for a long time. Because it's real online. It is. It's like in the world we're in with social media and with content creating and writing. It's like we write something and we see that, oh, well, she posted this like 30 minutes ago and all of our friends shared it. They'll definitely share what I'm posting, and then they don't. And you're like, wait, did they not like me? Was it bad? Was it not what the Lord told me to write? And you get in your head and you think, something's got to be wrong with me. But that spills over into real life. And I remember there was a season. This is like a funny story, but it was also sad. there was a season when actually it was during COVID. I know we're still in the pandemic. It's when everything would like just started, shut down. No one was going anywhere. And so as safely as I could, me and my husband got in the car and we delivered donuts to people that we like knew, that we were like kind of in our circle. So we dropped off donuts, whatever. And I did not do it so that someone else would do it for me. That's not why I've ever done anything. But, you know, time goes on, whatever. I dropped those off and I thought that was so fun to be able to give to those people. And like, And then I heard, you know, people were like, oh my goodness, yeah, so-and-so dropped off pizza and da-da-da. And I was like, oh, well, people are getting stuff dropped off left and right. And I don't know if they like forgot our address. Or and so months.
Maybe I should text them my address just so they.
Oh, here's my address. but months went by and, you know, forgot about the donuts, whatever. Well, my husband and I were sitting on the couch one day and we can like see out our, you know, front windows, and a pizza delivery guy pulled up and I was like, Caleb, that's my husband's name. I was like, Caleb, do you think someone is surprising us with pizza? And he was like, I mean, I don't know. And I was like, oh my gosh, someone dropped off pizza just to be sweet. Like, I wonder who it was. He opens the door and they're like, is this 29965 or whatever? And he was like, no, wrong house. And he was like, oh, okay, you know, have a good night. We just kind of looked at each other and I just like started tearing up. And I was like, I just thought someone was going to celebrate me, like for no reason. And, you know, I'm an Enneagram 3. So the way I function is I have to do things and achieve things for people to celebrate me. So in that moment, that was true. And it was, oh, I haven't done anything, so no one's going to celebrate me. And no one would ever celebrate me for just being Caitlin.
Yeah.
And I think that that can drive you into bitterness of, I'm never doing anything for anyone again. I can't tell you how many times I've said that sentence. I think I probably said it last week. My husband like disappointed me because I did something nice for him. It's a whole nother story, but I said, I'm not doing anything nice for anyone anymore. Like, I'm tired of being disappointed. And I think that you just have to remember why you do what you do, and that your treasures are in heaven. And I also said to him the other day, this is just great, great godly woman. I'm like, I know that your treasures are in heaven, but I want some treasures down here. And he's like, that's not how it works. But, you know, just shifting your mind to be like, if I do A, B, and C for these people for the rest of my life, and no one thanks me, no one gives me credit on social media, and no one does it back to me, am I still going to be okay doing it? And that just checks your motives of why are you celebrating those people? If it's, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have done something for someone and no post on social media, and then someone else does it the next day and they get like a big shout out. And I'm just like, wait a second. Am I in a mood? Like, is this a joke? Like, this has got to be a joke. But it's just that I think it's not a joke. I think it's God intentionally keeping me from getting that credit, because he's like, that's not why you did it, Caitlin. Like, I asked you to do something for someone, even though you may never get it in return. And I did actually eventually get COVID back in December, in my first trimester of pregnancy. It was really brutal. And I was laying in bed and my husband was like, hey, I guess your mom dropped a pizza off. And I was like, oh, that's nice. She sent us groceries too. Like, and then I was just like, well, at least my mom celebrates me. Like, she's the only one. And two of my friends from different states, like we talk all the time, but they live in different states. They had delivered pizza because they knew the pizza story. And it was just a really sweet moment of like, hey, when you least expect it and when you really need it, people do show up for you. And you just have to be willing to celebrate those people who do show up for you instead of mourning the loss of people that you maybe never really even had. I think that's something I had to learn too, is like, I have dreamt up again on my expectations of, oh my goodness, well, my best friend from college, she's going to just send by just a gift basket just for being Caitlin. It's like, no, it's okay that she's not going to do that. And that might not be her love language, like how she shows love. And I have so many friends who I know love me and they celebrate me well. They don't do it with a gift basket. And so, yeah, I think it's pushing past selfishness and being selfless enough to do something without ever getting anything in return. Not saying it's easy, but it's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm. I often think about, I'm kind of a words girl. Go figure. You know, I like writing. So I am kind of, you know, friendships are very dynamic, but I'm typically the leader friendship in a lot of my texting friends. Like, I'm the one that is usually, hey, what's up? You're beautiful. Yeah. You're great. You're awesome.
Going.
There's been times in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to text anybody.
Never again.
Nope.
I'm done.
Nope. Yes. Like, I'm going to wait until they text me and tell me how awesome I am.
And then 3 days pass and you're like, I do.
Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, like, how's it going? Yeah. And I have definitely felt that, you know, of, you know, when my husband and I weren't feeling well in October of last year, we didn't get anything. Yeah. And then you see these people on social media that they're like, my church brought me all this food and wow, this is amazing. And they have all these, you know, like every day of the week they have a meal, and it is hard, right? When you see that it's happening. And you know, there's these times where I'm like, you know what? Like I said, I'm just not going to text anybody. I'm going to wait till they tell me how, you know, they much they miss me.
Miss me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It sounds so, but y'all, you know, listeners, you know what we're talking about, right? I
felt it.
Let's kind of talk about the immediate gratitude versus the instant gratification. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So instant gratification is, we've all heard it. Millennials get accused of like, that's all we want is, we show up to work, we get a gold star, we get the instant gratification. That is the swipe up feature. Like, you swipe up, you click purchase on Amazon, it's at your door. In some places, in an hour. Where I am, it's still 2 days, but still, it's that immediate. Like, I mean, you get like a hit. Like, there are endorphins pulsing through your body when you click buy, when someone clicks like and comments that you're so pretty on your picture. Like, that is instant gratification. And that is what we are letting fuel celebration. That is what we are letting fuel why we should be celebrated or why we shouldn't. The opposite of that instant gratification lifestyle is immediate gratitude. And, you know, we live in an upside down kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. And so while the world is functioning from that instant gratification and getting hits and getting likes, and if I'm not happy, I got to find the next way to be happy. Whether it's addictions to shopping, pornography, alcohol, sex. I mean, people go really deep, really fast, and they want those instant hits. But a life of immediate gratitude is letting your feet hit the floor every single morning and deciding that you're going to be grateful, that gratitude is your attitude. Just to be cheesy, you're going to be grateful for exactly what's in your life, exactly what's in front of you. You know, I used to, and I would tell my friends that to like get out of a funk or to get out of like wanting someone else's life or wishing I was someone else, I would walk into my living room in the mornings and I would be like, Lord, thank you for that Keurig in the kitchen. And thank you for those pillows on my couch. And thank you for every single thing you've given me. And thanking God for your Keurig might seem crazy, but it's like, I have a Keurig that makes coffee every single morning. I don't even have to do it. There are people starving somewhere, and I have this, like, I have these things that I can be immediately grateful for. And that just spills over into, I'm so grateful for this friend. I'm so grateful for the job I get to go to. I'm so grateful for my health, for my husband. And you just start living a life out of gratitude instead of out of gratification. It's really a juxtaposition, and it's really a tug of war between gratitude and gratification. I think it's an everyday battle, just like you're taking your thoughts captive. Well, you're trying to turn them into gratitude instead of getting that next hit of gratification.
Yeah. I think that also kind of the instant gratification goes with the unmet expectations.
Yeah.
If we don't get an expectation met, then we feel like, well, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that this is just a really beautiful conversation about that. Let's talk a little bit about the unmet expectations of what are they in a sense? Cause I think we don't, like you said, we don't realize that we're putting expectations on people, especially without communicating. So maybe give us some tangible, what expectations we might be putting on people that we might not realize it.
I think that we don't communicate our expectations a lot. And I was in ministry school through Highlands College, and I just finished last year, actually in the middle of the pandemic, which was crazy. But one thing they really taught was how like unmet expectations are usually just expectations that were never communicated. And so having a spouse, I'm so aware of that now, but that's such a big thing in marriage of, I didn't tell you I wanted you to take the trash out every Thursday. How would you read my mind? Or I didn't tell you that I love to have fresh flowers every however many weeks. I mean, people can't read your mind. And so if my spouse can't read my mind, which he actually does very often, I mean, he has learned how to read my mind. But if it's hard for him, how much harder is it going to be for my friends who I'm not with every day and who aren't intimately in a home with me every single day? So how would they know that, hey, this event is something I really need you to show up for? You know, I have so many friends who tell me that so-and-so got really, really upset with them because they didn't show up to this event, wedding, funeral, birthday party, name it. And they're like, I had no idea it was that important to her. And had I known, I would have moved heaven and earth to be there. And I mean, I've had a friendship end over a friend called and needed me right then. And I wasn't able to drop everything. And that was it. That unmet expectation like ended a friendship.
Yeah.
And had I known, had it been, hey, this is crucial. And I this is like life or death. So important. I need you right now. I would have done whatever I needed to do to get there, but I wasn't aware. And I think we sit in those, we let them stack up and we keep score and we say, well, she didn't show up to this. And then she didn't answer this call. And then she never texted me back. And then she never brought me that gift that she promised that she was bringing me. And I'm done with her. I'm writing her off. And what if you had grace instead? What if instead of thinking everyone was out to hurt you, you saw everyone was out to help you? Mm-hmm. And that's a total mind shift, because I grew up kind of putting my pants on in the morning thinking people are thinking about how to ruin my day today. And that's just not true. They're putting their pants on thinking about how to get through their day.
Yeah.
And so I think that the big thing about unmet expectations is remembering and realizing that the person who didn't meet them, even if that person is you, didn't do it to hurt you. They did it because they're people who aren't perfect. And the only person who will never let you down, I think I shared this on Instagram at the very beginning of the year. The only person who will never let you down is Jesus. He's the only one, and he won't ever let you down. So when you think that he didn't meet your expectation, when you think he didn't answer your prayer, he's exceeding it. It's abundantly more. I mean, the Bible tells us that. So just putting all your expectations on him, that's actually what he asks for, and taking them off yourself and taking them off other people and just giving people grace when they mess up. I mean, I really think that that's it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. I was thinking about how we talk in code all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I've had this, you know, I'll be talking to people like, and I'm like, did you tell them that? And they're like, yeah, I told them, you know, it's like, turn off the fan, but I told them I was cold. I was like,
no,
that's not telling them to turn off the fan. That's telling them that you're cold. Right. And then you're like meeting that. Then they're not meeting the expectation that you placed on them that they never knew was on them. Yeah. And I think that we have to be, you know, my husband and I always laugh at this because men are very one-track mind. They do not they cannot think about many things at once. So I'm like, hey, babe, can you rotate the clothes? So for a woman, that means one goes into the dryer, another load into the washer. Do you know what I mean? Yep. But to my husband, sometimes that means I'm going to put the clothes from the washer to the dryer.
And that's it. Yeah.
He's like, I did that. And I'm like, well, did you put another load in? I mean, granted, he knows now, but before it was just like, that's to him rotating the clothes. And I'm like, well, actually, can you do this? So sometimes I'll be like, can you put clothes in the washer? Can you put them in the dryer? And can you start a new thing? But most people are like, I shouldn't have to tell them that. And I'm like,
where did we learn that though? It's like, where did we learn that? You know what I think it really is? I think it's a pride thing of, I don't want to let people know I need them. And I don't want to let them know I need their help. So if they guess it, great. If they don't, well, I'm mad because they didn't guess it. It's like, that's not fair. And it is because, I can like sense the prize like oozing out of my skin when I'm like, it's really cold in here. And instead of saying, I would have had to admit that like, hey, I need you to turn the fan off. And I don't know why that feels weak and why that feels vulnerable, but it does. And I think that's it. I think it's like, we again have to like push past ourselves in order to live this life that cultivates community and cultivates celebration. Because at the end of the day, we have an enemy, a real enemy, fighting every single ounce of that celebration, every single ounce of that community, every single ounce of that grace we give our friends. He's combating that in our minds with, nope, they're not your friend. They're not a good friend. They don't like you. Your husband, he's not a good husband. So-and-so's husband is better. Like, that's a constant thought pattern that He's trying to subtly slip into our minds. And so we have to be on guard at all times to use the word and to pray. And of course, there are times when, yes, this is a toxic relationship you need to separate yourself from. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking more about like these times where just grace is needed. And I think we just have to be on guard to combat the lies that the enemy's throwing at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This has been such a sweet conversation and, you know, just learning to celebrate ourselves, whether anybody celebrates us or not, but also learning to celebrate others, whether, you know, whatever the situation is. So what's the one last thing that you want to leave the listeners with?
I just want you to know that wherever you are, whatever you've been through, whoever you are, wherever you're sitting right now, it's where you're supposed to be and it's where God wants you and it's where he wants you to make a difference. So he's given you the party supplies that you need to throw a party. So do it right where you are, without hesitation, without holding back, and be exactly who he's called you to be. Not looking to the right or to the left to see what someone else is doing, but just really being in tune with who it is that he wants you to be for the glory of his kingdom.
Yeah. Love it. Now, this is the absolute last question I ask every guest at the end. What lie often comes for you that you have to speak truth to? So it can be any lie not relating to this topic.
Yeah. The lie that comes for me more often than not, and it does relate to this topic, is just you're not good enough and you never will be. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not true. I know that Jesus loves me, that I'm good enough for him and I'm good enough for the people in my life because of him. And that lie is from the enemy, and he doesn't get to determine what's good and what's not because the Lord has already done that.
Yeah. Amen to that, sister. Well, where can we hang out with you at?
Yeah. So Instagram is where I'm at the most. It's at Caitlin Chapel Rogers. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on my website. Some blogs are there, caitlinchapelrogers.com. I do have just some free resources like a prayer guide to help you pray if you feel like you don't know what to pray. And then this year, I started reading through the Bible backwards. And so I have a Bible backwards plan that you can download. Join us. We have a whole community of people going through it backwards. It's really fun. It's something the Lord asked me to do. And some other people thought it would be cool to do it with me. So would love to have you come do that. And yeah, find me on social media. And I really never meet a stranger. So shoot me a message.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for your time. I know that so many women are going to be blessed by this message.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode today. I pray that you know that your life is worth celebrating. Caitlin and I, just like I said, we had talked about 40 minutes prior to starting, and I love her heart for people. I love her honesty, but most importantly, her love for Jesus and just this idea that we are worth celebrating because of whose image we're made in. And it's not selfish or self-care to celebrate and to be full of gratitude for the things that you do have. And you don't need to compare yourself to anybody else, but that you get to look at yourself and then you get to go, God, who am I becoming today? Who am I becoming tomorrow? If this podcast encouraged you in any way, thank you for taking a moment of your time to head to the reviews, to give it a review, to give it a 5-star, to give it a rating so that other amazing women can find this podcast as well, because lies come for us all and we all need the truth. If you wrestle at all with knowing your worth in Christ, I recommend you heading to the show notes below, grabbing my 4-week Know Your Worth study all about restoring your faith and rebuilding the foundation of who you are. And remember, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.